Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We've come now in Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 to verse 2, which is one of the most intriguing verses in all the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Jesus said, praying to the Father, as thou hast given him, that is Christ the Son, and he might have put it this way, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he, that is the Son, that I, Jesus Christ the Son, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, or given to me. Depending on whether you're putting it in the second or the third person, and Christ prays it here in the third person. Now, we started looking at this verse yesterday, and we saw that there was something about the crucifixion of Christ that gave him universal dominion over, as he puts it here, all flesh. I take that to mean over all the world. Over all the universe, we might say, but particularly this has reference to the world. He's talking now primarily about flesh, and that's a way of speaking of humanity. So there's something about the cross of Christ that gives him dominion over the world, and I take this to mean to wrestle back, he just takes back. He has sovereign power. God is the one who granted to Satan the right to rule the world under God's dominion, under God's restrictions. But Satan had that rule ever since Adam fell in the garden until Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And when that happened, then that authority that previously had been granted to Satan was now retrieved or removed from Satan and granted to Jesus Christ the Son. That's what I think Christ is saying here. As thou hast given him, that is the Son, power over all flesh, authority over all flesh. The authority that formerly belonged to Satan is now granted to God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second part of this verse, and that is important as well. And we'll look at that in just a moment, but first let me pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, April 23rd edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and say thanks to those whose gifts help us to maintain this program on this station. Now we come to the last part of verse 2. Again, reading all of John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now I said the two parts of the verse, I said this on the broadcast yesterday, are number one, universal authority, and number two, selected activity. Universal authority. Christ died in order to receive universal authority over all the world, over all men. He is granted authority over the world, which is why he said in the Great Commission, all power, all authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. But there was something else he was doing in dying on the cross. He was not only taking universal authority over the world, but he was also redeeming a people unto himself. And who was he redeeming unto himself? Well, that he, that is the Son, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now let me back up and read verses 1 and 2 together. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. One reason for Christ being granted authority over all the world is so from that seat of authority and power, he might grant eternal life to whom? To as many as the Father gives him. He grants eternal life to as many as the Father gives him. That's selected activity. So we could put it this way. Christ died on the cross with a universal purpose in mind, and Christ died on the cross with a particular purpose in mind. Christ died on the cross with a universal purpose in mind, namely, to be granted authority over all the world, meaning all the inhabitants of the world without exception. But Christ also died on the cross with a particular or limited purpose in mind, selected activity in mind. What was that? To grant eternal life to as many as God had given to him, the Father had given to him. And so we learn the purpose of Christ's death. It is, number one, to gain uncontested authority over all creation. The authority that was lost by the first man, Adam, he had been given authority over the world. He had been given dominion. He was placed in the garden and given dominion over the world, and he lost that when he succumbed to Satan's temptation. He gave up the dominion that had been given to the first Adam, was apparently transferred to Satan, the usurper, the tempter, the one who had succeeded in overthrowing the first Adam in the garden. But what authority was lost by the first Adam is regained by the last Adam. Now the last Adam comes along, dies on the cross, rises from the dead, and snatches that authority back from Satan and returns it to the race of men that God had created to have dominion over the earth to begin with. But you see, the first head of that race, Adam, fell and gave up that authority. And so now the second Adam, the head of a new race, comes along, and he regains that authority. So the purpose of Christ's death is, number one, to gain uncontested authority over all creation. The authority lost by the first Adam is regained by the last Adam, or the second Adam. And in the process, the man Christ Jesus is elevated to the supreme position of authority. And that's why we read in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We're talking here about glorifying the Son and glorifying the Father. Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee bowing to Jesus Christ as Lord will bring glory to God the Father. But you see, bowing to Him and acknowledging that He is the supreme ruler of the universe is an authority that's given to Him because of the cross. The hour is come. That hour of the cross is come. And that's the hour that gives Christ this universal authority. Until then, every knee has bowed to Satan. That's what man does in his sinfulness. He bows the knee to Satan. He yields authority to Satan. He gives his life to Satan. He is ruled by Satan. He's a citizen of Satan's kingdom. And he yields his allegiance to Satan. But Jesus Christ comes along and snatches authority away from Satan. And now he is the supreme ruler of the universe. And every knee shall bow to him. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Satan is Lord, but Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so the purpose of Christ's death is to regain a lost and usurped creation. To regain for God and for the glory of God the rule over this world that had been lost by Adam and forfeited to Satan, the usurper, the god of this world, who loved to be in authority over the world, but he lost that. Jesus Christ defeated Satan, took that authority away, regained it for Adam's fallen race, at least for a portion of Adam's fallen race. He regained it for this new humanity whose leader is now Christ, the second Adam, because the first Adam fell and forfeited that and plunged everything into sin and chaos. But Jesus Christ, the conquering victor, comes and snatches that back from Satan and regains that authority for a new redeemed humanity. He restores Adam's fallen race to its place of previous grandeur and majesty and dignity and authority. In fact, he even raises Adam's fallen race to a higher level than it ever was in the garden before the fall. But in the process of doing this, who is he doing this for? There's one sense in which he gains universal authority, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But there is another sense in which he is doing this for a selected portion of Adam's fallen race. We read it in verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Christ dies on the cross in order to save a select group of people. To save a particular group of people. You see, there is controversy among the people of God regarding the death of Christ upon the cross, and especially right at this point. Did Christ's death on the cross have reference to, was that a universal purpose or a particular purpose? Are we talking about a universal redemption, or are we talking about a limited redemption, a particular redemption? Well, when it comes to the issue of salvation, I think it's pretty clear. It is a particular redemption, isn't it? Christ died on the cross that he should give eternal life to whom? To as many as the Father had given to him. The Father has given the Son a people. The Father has given the Son that people, a people selected in eternity past and given to the Son before he even died upon the cross. Those were his people that he was now dying upon the cross for, to redeem them, to give to them eternal life. Which ones? The very ones that the Father had given to the Son. The Son now pays the price for the sins of those people and secures redemption for them. But that's not the only purpose for which Christ died upon the cross. He also died upon the cross for a universal purpose. But the universal purpose doesn't have to do with salvation. The universal purpose has to do with authority, with rule, with kingliness, with authority and control. And in dying on the cross, there is a universal purpose, namely to gain authority over the whole world, over every individual in the world, over all flesh, over every person in the world without exception, but to gain redemption, to give eternal life to a particular people, selected by the Father in eternity past and given to the Son. So this debate about the extent of the atonement, is it universal or is it limited? The answer is, in a sense, it is both, but we have to find out what we're talking about. Are we talking about salvation, or are we talking about sovereignty? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.